Matthew 26, it's not far away from where we were this morning. We were just over the page in Matthew 25. Matthew 26, we want to break into the chapter at verse 14. So if you weren't paying attention, you would think I'm preaching the same sermon twice, because this morning it was chapter 25, verse 14. Tonight it's 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. From that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had never been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for this time around thy feet today so far. Lord, we pray now as we come to these final moments of the evening gospel service, Lord, the last few moments of being in thy house today, Lord, we just pray that you'll come and meet with us. Lord, take thy word. We pray you'll apply it where it needs to be applied. We pray, Lord, that the great searchlight of heaven will shine down into each and every heart. And Lord, we pray you'll speak. Bless us now. Help us as we preach. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we live our lives, we always meet those people who seem to be highly privileged. Maybe there are those in your family and you maybe feel that they were born with the silver spoon in their mouth. That seems to be a phrase that we would say often about some people we know. Oh, they were born with the silver spoon in their mouth. And very often that describes someone who is esteemed with privilege, someone who is inundated with privilege. They receive a lot of things and they are given almost a head start in life. It seems to be that they do very well in life no matter what they do. Doesn't matter whether it's in education or in business, whether it's in employment, whatever they do, it seems to prosper well for them. Another phrase that we maybe have heard said, if they fell into a ditch, they would still come out smelling of roses. But how sad it is that as we look at some people as they live their lives, there are those people who never realize the privileges that they have received or the privileges that they have until those privileges are no longer there. We never miss the water, you see, until the well has run dry. You can take a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. And life, as we travel through it, we will be given privileges, and maybe at the time we don't think of it as a privilege. You're here tonight, and that's a privilege for you. Just a number of weeks ago, before I went on holiday, I was doing a meeting down in McGilligan Prison for Wesley Madole, and I was speaking on Lot's wife, and the first point in that message was the privilege of Lot's wife. And the privilege that she had was that she was married to a righteous man. And I started off by saying to the men of McGilligan that they were privileged in being there. Well, you could have heard the laughter in Ballymoney. Privileged being here? I said, yes, you never would have met me. And they laughed even harder. I said, privileged because it's here that you hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the same for you here tonight. What a privilege it is for you to be here. You maybe don't think of it as a privilege. You maybe don't think of it as a privilege to look up and see me for an hour. You maybe don't think of it as a privilege to come to this church tonight and to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it's just to please someone, or maybe it's developed into a form of habit. But it is always a privilege for someone to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. We read so many different times in the New Testament of those people who were in the multitude. They were following wherever the Lord went. And the phrase can be said, and they heard of Jesus. They heard of Jesus. If the rain's off, we'll go up to Market Hill, Main Street tonight. And there will be those people who tonight, if God wills, will hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to hear about the Lord Jesus, the good news of the gospel. But with privilege, there always comes responsibility. You could look at those people that you know who were given the privileges of life, born, as we have said, with a silver spoon in their mouth. And because of those privileges they have received in life, comes with that responsibility. And it's the same in the gospel. For those who are privileged enough to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, there is that responsibility as to what we do with the knowledge that we have been given. Bible says in Luke 12:48, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And even if you only ever hear the gospel once, even if this is your first and last time ever to hear or to be here, to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross to take away your sin, that you might get to heaven, if that's the first and only time that you ever hear that message, unto whomsoever much is given, of much shall be required. Some, sadly, as they travel through life, will despise the privileges that they are given. Some, as we have said, as they hear the gospel, they will despise everything that they have received. They will not value it at all. And our reading tonight in Matthew 26, it describes one such person. We are introduced to a man, Judas by name, and Judas, he was one of those people who never fully used or realized the blessings that he had been given. If we had to isolate a text tonight, it would be verse 24. And it says there, the Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had never been born. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was here with his disciples. Those men who walked and talked with him while he was here upon his earthly ministry. And tonight I want us to look at Judas, and I hope that there is no one here with traits or privileges or decisions or mistakes that Judas had found in his character. The first thing I want you to notice is that Judas had access to Christ. Judas had access to the person of Christ. If you turn back over to the start of Matthew chapter 10, you will discover there in verse 1, Matthew 10 verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. The first verse there tells us that the Lord had called these 12 men, 12 special men. He had called them unto himself. He gave them abilities and powers. The Bible tells us that they had the power to cast out unclean spirits. They were able to heal all manner of sickness. Judas was able to do many wonderful works. Judas was able to do the things that the other disciples could do. But yet even the other 11, they did not realize, nor did they understand, as they looked at Judas, that Judas would be the one who would betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we are tonight in this church, and there may be those people in this church building tonight, and you can quote scripture just like the person sitting beside you. You can sing the hymns just like the person sitting beside you. Indeed, you come to church carrying a Bible just like the person sitting beside you. You can dress up just like the person sitting beside you. And as it was for the other 11 disciples, so it is for us tonight. We don't know your heart. Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And friend, tonight as the Lord Jesus Christ sat with those 12 disciples, he knew the heart of every one of them. He knew the heart of every one of them. Found among that number was Judas. He had the power to cast out devils. He had the power to heal the sick. He was able to do many wonderful works. He was even trusted. Judas, he was the treasurer. He had the bag. He was trusted by the other 11 men. Yet every day while Jesus Christ was down here fulfilling his earthly ministry, every day while he went and talked and preached and healed the sick and did the many wonderful works that he did, there was one numbered amongst the 12 who would betray the Lord Jesus Christ. The amazing thing for me is that Judas had unlimited access to the Lord Jesus Christ. There he was every single day with the Lord Jesus Christ. Could you imagine what that must have been like for Judas? Could you imagine what it's like to be with a Christian, someone who's godly, someone who is that greatest example of what a Christian ought to be? And as you are with them, maybe you are in the workplace, maybe within the home, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your wife. And every day in life, you are under their influence, and you see their example, and you see their witness. But as far as they're concerned, you're seethed, and all is well. You see, Judas, he was with those 11 every day. Every day, wherever they went, whatever they did, Judas was there under their influence. He witnessed their works. He heard the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was with the Lord every day. But yet he did not know him. Yet he denied him. He denied the very Son of God. He betrayed him into the hands of evil men. You say to me tonight, Mark, how could this be? How could this be real? Well, here you are today in this service, and like you've been to many meetings. You've had countless opportunities to trust Christ. There have been many people that have witnessed to you. There have been much prayers offered up for your soul that you might be saved, that you might trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Like Judas, you have had access to the Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel. You have heard much about Jesus and the mighty works that he has done. Just like Judas, you have been in a home with Christian parents. You've had those influences. You've had godly Sunday school teachers. You've been to children's meetings. You've been in missions. Special times in your life. Yet tonight you're still in your sin. That's how it was for Judas. The Bible tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Judas had a wicked heart. And if we are not saved, so have we. Sin is a heart problem, you see. And Judas never really was a true believer. Judas was with Christ, but he didn't belong to Christ. And I wonder tonight in Market Hill, is there someone who knows about Christ? Someone who tries to be with Christ, but you don't know Christ because you're not really saved. You say to me, Mark, what do you mean? Well, maybe it's a profession. Maybe you said a prayer a long time ago and you can't remember the date. Well, it's not the date that saves you. That's okay. You can't remember where it was. Well, it's not where it was that saves you. And you're holding on to this little empty prayer, this little empty profession. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. Bible says, by their fruit ye shall know them. And if we were to do the fruit test tonight, there's no fruit in your life that you are a true child of God. For Judas, the fruit of his life, as we shall see in a moment, was not real. Judas was false. He was false. Judas knew much about Christ, but he didn't know him. And tonight you know much about Christ. You've had access to him for years through the preaching of the gospel, but you don't know him. Bible says in Matthew 25:41, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devils and his angels. There's verses in Matthew that says, many shall say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, I prophesied, I preached, Lord, I did many wonderful works in your name. What does the Lord say? He said, I never knew you. You see, the Lord doesn't dispute that the works weren't done. Because as we have noticed in Matthew in the earlier chapters, as those 12 men were selected, they were given the ability, they were made able to do those mighty wonderful works. The works that you are able to do for this church or for anything else, those works will never be disputed. The question is, does Christ know you tonight? If I was to go to Buckingham Palace, knock on the door and say, I'm here to see the Queen, the first question they would ask me is, do you have an appointment? Is the Queen expecting you? No, she's not, but I know the Queen. Does the Queen know you? No, she doesn't, but I know the Queen. Would I get in? No, I wouldn't. And the truth of it is this. You maybe know about the Lord Jesus Christ. You maybe know him as to who he was and what he did, but you're not known unto him because you're not saved. You're not saved. Notice also that Judas had access to the preaching of Christ. He had access to the person, but also to the preaching. Many times I have no doubt that Judas would have heard the Lord Jesus Christ preach. There was no greater preacher that ever walked upon this earth. To be able to listen, to be able to hear the Lord Jesus Christ preach and teach. That's how it was when I was in Bible college. Whenever I went into those classes, you started to listen to some of the men as they began to lecture. And the sad reality was you had to take notes on it. And then you were frantically writing really fast. What a blessing it would have been just to sit and listen. How it must have been for the disciples just to be able to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ as he preached and taught and talked to the multitudes round about. And Judas was there. Judas was able to hear. Judas was able to listen to the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was able to see the change that it made in the lives of others, but yet it never made the change in his life. Judas would have heard parables like Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. It describes the four types of ground, the shallow Christian. It would have been the stony ground. Those believers, the seed finds the ground and there's no depth and they fade away. The cares of the world choke the seed in the thorny ground. We think of the good ground, the path, where the fowls of the air is like the devil comes down and takes away the seed. You read it in your Bible, you will see the Lord Jesus Christ explained all of those things. Judas heard all of that. We could think of Mark chapter 8, whenever the Lord says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, also he said unto them, and Mark verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Judas would have heard those words. The Bible tells us in verse 34, with his disciples. I have no doubt in my mind that Judas was there. Judas heard that verse. What should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For Judas it was 30 pieces of silver. For Judas, it was 30 pieces of silver. And friend, tonight the challenge for you is this. What will you be profited if you gain the whole world but yet lose your soul? Judas was the money man. Judas loved the money. And even hearing sermons, hearing words like this from the Lord Jesus Christ, he loved those things more. And maybe for you tonight, you love the things of this world more. You love the pleasures of sin more. And you love the Lord Jesus Christ. These things never made an impact on Judas. They never made a difference. With all of this preaching from the greatest of all preachers, Judas was lost. What about all of the preaching that you have heard tonight? Maybe you think the preacher is not much of a preacher. Well, that's no problem. But what about the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? What about all of the challenge that he has issued to you from the scriptures? Even though Judas had access to the preaching of Christ, he didn't know him and he was lost. Here you have tonight in your hand God's precious book. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. John 3:3, the story of Nicodemus. I'm sure you've heard it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The little children's chorus that we sing. One way God said to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. Friend, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What about it tonight? You've had access to the preaching and you're still not saved. Notice also that Judas had access to the power of Christ and he was still lost. You say to me, preacher, the reason I don't believe is because I don't see anything. I hear that on the doors a lot. I don't believe any of this stuff. I need to meet God. I need to see God. I need to see these miracles. I need to witness these things to believe that God really did make the earth. And there's all of these doubts in their mind. And maybe that's how it is for you tonight. You say to me, preacher, before I can believe, I need to see. If I was able to see something, if I had evidence, If there was proof there, well then, I would believe. Well, friend, tonight, let me tell you this, that Judas had all of those things. Judas had the Lord Jesus Christ right there in front of him every day, along with 11 other men. He was able to see the legion as he was healed in Mark 5. The woman with the issue of blood, he was able to see those 10 lepers as they were healed, and he was able to see the one running back. Judas was able to witness and to see all of that, but yet he was lost. Luke 16, verse 31. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You see, Luke 16 introduces us to a man who died and went to hell. He was lost. And realizing his torments, he pleads that someone would go back to his father's house and warn his brothers. He had 5 brothers. And the answer came back, if they don't hear Moses, if they don't listen to the prophets, they will not believe though one rose from the dead. People on the door say to me often, nobody's ever come back to tell us. You ever hear that? I love hearing that because I just say, I have. And then they think you're totally gone. Nobody has ever come back to tell us. They think they have you. And I just stand there and I say, I have. I'm yet dead on. That's what they'll say. And I say, that's why nobody has come back. Because you'd be ringing for the boy in the white coats. Nobody ever will come back. Nobody has come back and nobody ever will come back. Because if they don't believe the preacher on the street corner in the open air, if they don't believe the Sunday school teacher, if they don't believe the preachers in the pulpits, if they don't believe the people in the workplace witnessing to their unsaved friends, they will not believe though one rose from the dead. Judas had all of these things. He had access to the power of Christ and he still did not believe. Judas witnessed these miracles firsthand. And he didn't believe. What have you seen that may convince you of the power of God in your life? Well, maybe those near shaves, those lucky escapes. Maybe those sicknesses within your family. Maybe those heartbreaks. That's the gracious hand of God upon your life. About 2 months ago, I was in a home visiting somebody that I had met on door-to-door work. And a friend of theirs called at the home, a Roman Catholic man in his 50s. And I began to speak with him just in general things, and the conversation escalated very quickly to things of a spiritual matter. An hour and 45 minutes I was there speaking to him. In fact, I was there that long, the person that we both had come to visit fell asleep. But she's saved, it's okay, she's ready for heaven. An hour and 45 minutes. You see, this man deemed himself to be very religious. This man, he was a very religious man. Do you know why? Because he had been brought up that way. He had got away from religion. Then his business went wrong. And all of a sudden he finds himself coming back towards religion because things have went wrong. And I simply said to him, calling him by his name, I said, you know, sometimes God does things to get our attention. And maybe God is wanting your attention. Has God got your attention tonight? Because something may just happen in your life and then you will give God your attention. Oh yes, I want to see something happen and then I will believe. Maybe God will answer that prayer. Maybe something will happen in your life. Judas witnessed all of these things and he didn't believe. Notice also the access. Judas had access to the purpose of Christ. The main reason the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world was to go to the cross. Friend, tonight it's at the cross where we must begin. If we take away the cross tonight, we have no message. If we leave out the cross, there is nothing more or nothing that I have to say. John 3 in the verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Lord Jesus Christ was in no doubt as to why he had come into this world. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that he was here to die. Romans 5 and 6, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Judas was in the company of the Lord Jesus Christ as Christ preached and he witnessed his preaching. He had a knowledge, but yet he chose to reject this knowledge and to betray the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. What should it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Friend, tonight, what would you sell your soul for? What would you say tonight that I'll forget about Christ if I can have? For Judas it was 30 pieces of silver. I'll forget about Christ if you give me 30 pieces of silver. What profit did Judas really have? The answer is none. In fact, he lost a considerable amount. He lost his soul for 30 pieces of silver, which meant nothing to him at the end of the day. He lost his soul. Friend, what are you choosing over Christ tonight? Is it wealth? Is it fame? Is it fortune? Is it just plainly the things of this old world, living a cold and a careless life, just drifting along in the sea of life? Hebrews 11:25, the pleasures of sin are for a season. What an awful thing to have such knowledge, but yet to be lost. Think of the knowledge that Judas had. But notice, Judas had access to the people of Christ. Judas was not only a man who had powerful privileges, but he was a man who was in the very company of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was also one of the 12. He was one of those special men who were chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. Men who walked and talked with the Lord. Men who knew him in their heart. He was always under the influence of those other 11 men. People who loved the Lord. People who knew Christ. If I had to choose a word tonight to describe Judas, I would choose the word chameleon. A chameleon. Do you know what a chameleon is? A chameleon blends into their surroundings. You'll not see it. If a chameleon's on a tree, it'll blend into that tree. It's like a little lizard. You don't see it. It just blends in and gets on with things. You see, Judas played the part. Can I ask you tonight, are you a chameleon Christian? You're not really saved at all, but you play the part. And you sound like a Christian, and you talk like a Christian, and you do all of the things that Christians do, but you're not real. You're just like Judas. Does that describe you today? You have access to the people of Christ, the people of this church that are saved, the blood-bought people of God, maybe your friends and your family. Maybe there's those in your family who are saved, and you're just a chameleon Christian. You're playing the part. In their company, yet you know nothing of God's saving grace. You see, Judas, he was a pretender. He was a counterfeit. Judas wasn't real. Luke 3:17, he will truly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. There's coming that great day of judgment when the wheat and the tares. Are you wheat tonight or are you tares? So they look both the same. I've never seen wheat and tares. But I'm told that the tare just looks like the wheat. But it's not wheat. Think of the sheep and the goats. Are you a sheep tonight or are you a goat? It's only the sheep that belong to Christ. Are you the real thing tonight? Are you Christ's? Are you saved? Or maybe you're a pretender like Judas. Maybe you're even pretending to listen. The Bible says, man looks on the outward appearance, and for this time of this service, that's all I can do is look down upon this gathering of people and look on the outward appearance. I can make up my own mind as to whether you're listening or not, but listen, God really knows if you're listening. God really knows your heart. Verse 24, it says, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Look at what it says. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Judas was lost. Matthew 26:49, he kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. Judas, realizing his mistake, once he had betrayed Christ, took his own life. He was lost in God's eternity forevermore. The Bible says, better he never been born. Friend, tonight I trust that you'll be born again. Tonight I trust that you'll come and have Jesus as your own. You'll have him as your Savior. Will you be lost tonight or will you be found? Maybe you're a sheep tonight and you don't know it. You ever think about that one? Maybe there's a sheep in this building tonight and you don't know it yet. You see, tonight is the night when you'll be born into God's family. Tonight is the night when you'll come to the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd, the Bible says, giveth his life for the sheep. The sheep know his voice. The shepherd knows the sheep. You read it in John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Will you come to Christ tonight? Will you come to know him as your own and personal Savior? I told a story to the young people in the mission in March. And I'll tell it to you again tonight. You see, sometimes things are not always what they seem. And Judas wasn't what he seemed to be. Two men were working late one night and they had become exhausted with their work. They said, let's go out for a bite to eat. They went out to a restaurant and they ordered what they were. And they said, in the morning we'll hit the tellers and then we'll hit the vault. They turned up for work the next morning and the place was swarmed with police. Two men was arrested and brought down to the local station. Transpired on further investigation that sitting at the table beside them was a police officer, and he had heard the two men come together with this plan. In the morning, we'll hit the tellers and then we'll hit the vault. Turned out that they were auditors in a bank. They worked there and they were just planning their day of work. He thought he had foiled a robbery. You see, sometimes things are not what they seem. Can I ask you tonight, are you for real? Are you really a Christian? Are you really saved tonight? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Was there a time, as we sung in hymn 339, that wonderful day, that day you'll never forget? That day when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, are you for real? Or are you counterfeit? Maybe you're not what you seem. Friend, tonight you can bluff me. You can bluff your pastor. You can bluff the session. But you can't bluff God. Judas, the great pretender. Friend, if you're not saved tonight, I trust tonight will be the night when you'll be born again. Maybe you're not sure. Maybe you come to services like this and you're not sure if you're saved or not. There's not much fruit in your life. Why not come tonight and make sure? Simply say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm depending on a little prayer I said a long time ago. Lord, I want to be sure that I'm saved. And then start making fruit. Start serving Christ. Having fruit in your life. Fruit unto eternal life. We'll sing a verse of the hymn 232. O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent his crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. We'll sing verse 2 and verse 4. want to get saved tonight, you wait behind, have a word with me. I know there's an open air, but there's plenty of men here that can take charge of that. We'll take as long as it takes. If you want to speak with someone, you indicate to me at the door, and we'll be only too glad to talk with you and speak to you and to show you the things from God's Word. Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for this time of preaching today. Lord, we thank thee that there is that invitation. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord, we think of those promises that you'll restore unto them the years the locusts have eaten away. Lord, maybe there's a backslider here and time has been wasted. Lord, they're in the world tonight. Lord, we pray you'll speak to them, bring them back to their first love. Lord, maybe there's some and they have never trusted thee. Lord, they have never came to that place of decision. Lord, they've never placed their hand in the nail-pierced hand of the Saviour. Lord, we pray that tonight you'll give deciding grace. Lord, bring them unto thyself. Lord, part us now with thy blessing. Lord, bless the open air and all that will take place there. We ask it in Jesus' precious and worthy name.